gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Monday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I know. Nobody helped me. Nobody touched me. Oh. I know. Jodie Foster did not acknowledge me in front of a worldwide audience. It's okay, fine.
Whatever.
Fine.
It sounds like you went through a bad breakup yesterday.
Apparently. Can't wait to see what the interwebs are going to have to say about that today. I was officially in the bathroom with Christine Lotti, as I said, at the top of the hour.
All right.
Whatever, out of sight, out of mind, yikes.
When I worked on Becker back in the early aughts, I had a Christine Lotti moment where I was just waiting around, seemingly for hours and hours.
Right.
And, of course, just before they called me in, I had to go to the...
Of course you did.
Yeah, right.
And so you were, it was in your hands when you, you were holding an award of a different kind when you, when your name was called. That's spectacular. All right. Yes, I got the text from a lot of people everywhere. They're like, what's up at... Yeah, because as, in case you didn't know, we what was Becker in the DNC.
Yes.
It was all the rage on the interwebs that we were dating, Jodie Foster and I. That's who got us better hotel rooms at the DNC, as you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you consider one tweet all the rage.
Right.
On the internet.
Not one tweet. It was all over some website.
Was it?
Oh, God, yes. Okay. Yes, there was a whole stream. People had comments on it.
Oh, dear. Must be okay. True.
They were. Oh, that's my favorite was, at least Jodie's finally met an equal. That had to piss her off. What? She's a fart Golden Globe. She's a fart joke. I mean, whoa. All right. So anyway, but that was brave and...
I was screaming.
Something. That was... Yeah, wow.
There was a little controversy about why she didn't do it sooner, you know.
Oh,
well,
please. I'm
not in that camp. I am not in that camp.
No one will ever come out if everybody always does that to people.
Exactly.
Like, oh, why now?
Why did you wait so long?
What about me?
So I heard that a couple of times, so I'm acquainted with it. Anyway, good for her, I say.
Yep.
By the way, just for the record, I hate to say something that's actually true. I've never met her, so I don't. But I was actually, ironically, at home crying and lonely, too. So I should actually email her and say, I'm lonely, too. And I'm single.
I want to come over and give you a hug.
Oh, who wants you? All right.
I give good hugs.
I almost ran into her and Russell Crowe on Sunset Boulevard years ago. They're very incognito.
Like,
I was just walked right by them.
Right.
But then they showed a picture in some magazine of Russell Crowe.
You're like,
that's who that was.
I'd known that was the disguise. Okay.
All right.
This is like the Pink Panther. Oh, damn. Okay. all right. So, yeah, a lot of people talking about that. It was... It was a little uncomfortable at points, right? I was like, oh.
It seemed like she was really nervous.
I just watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, it seemed like she was really nervous.
She's very private.
Yeah.
You know, that's what she told me when we were dating. No, all right. All right, Stephen. I just like, you know what makes me happy this morning?
What?
Being able to say Schenectady.
Schenectady.
Stephen Schenectady, New York writes. It's a love letter. Somebody loves me.
I love
Steve
you.
Steve writes, Steph, love the show. I'm in the process of becoming a Stephaholic.
Okay.
Fabulous. What does it say about me, an old straight guy, that my favorite cable shows are hosted by you and Rachel Maddow? Well, Steve, it means you're a lesbian.
Clearly.
And welcome. Jodie Foster didn't thank you, too. And also, here's the only thing I have to keep me going this morning, Chris.
What?
I was right about something. I knew it. You know when my little movie reference wires flap around in my brain?
Are we going back to the pigs again?
Yes! Yes! Get Shorty! That's it! That's the one I was thinking of. Isn't that Quentin Tarantino?
No. That's Barry Sonnenfeld.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
I read the book. I don't remember if
Lauren I saw the writes, movies with pigs eating people. Get Shorty, you were right as usual, Steph.
No, you weren't. That wasn't Quentin Tarantino.
Revenge of the Hogs.
That was the movie I was thinking of.
Squealado.
It wasn't Hannibal, and it wasn't... No, that's Deliverance. That's a different kind of squealing.
That has pigs.
All right. That was that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just a woman, I'm an app. Have
you
I mentioned
are.
That? Yeah, I'm an app. Jay writes, Steph, thank you for finally getting an app. The app makes it easier to access the shows I miss and provided a push to finally get the yearly subscription I've been wanting.
There you go.
Well, what a Jim Dandy idea. The StephCast, only $4.95 a month. It's...
Buy everything you can.
You buy it. Please. let's see. Phyllis writes, Steph, love your show. Never missed a broadcast. Start on TV. When I leave the house, I switch to TuneIn, and now your wonderful app.
Mm-hmm.
I know I will not have to give you up. I don't get out much. I was at Sexy Liberal New York City. She's seen me in almost every form except dessert topping.
Well, and that's coming.
Right. And you can see, by the way, a very few tickets left for Sexy Liberal this Saturday. Oh, my God, it's a Saturday.
I know.
Jim and Chris and Jackie opening the show. All four Sexy Liberals. Ms. Boogity Cheese herself. Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks. Two huge surprise celebrity guests. Oh, and I think we're going to have a surprise celebrity guest for Jim. That's a whole other story.
What?
That's a whole other thing. We're planning things. Okay. So in the meantime... Hmm? What? In the meantime, go to sexyliberal.com.
All
get
right,
it.
Fine.
It's going to be the party of the... the millennium. I was trying to pick a hyperbole. Millennium? Something.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
The eon.
I am clearly over Jody now because you know why.
Why?
Because I have a new woman.
Who?
Road Flare Mary.
No way.
Yeah,
oh.
Exactly. And I got a new jingle, which always makes me happy.
Oh, you think you're so smart.
Semi-retirement. He's back, ladies.
Holy cow.
Real tour de force, in other French words.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. That was fabulous. All right.
Zut alors.
Exactly. All right. Everybody, people can stop YouTubing it to me. We have the Jodie Foster at the Golden Globes. Very powerful, I thought. Here she is. Jodie Foster at the Golden Globes. Here she comes.
So I'm here being all confessional and... I guess I just have a sudden urge to say something that I've never really been able to air in public.
Yeah,
so declaration that I'm a little nervous about, but maybe not quite as nervous as my publicist right now, huh, Jennifer? I'm just going to put it out there, right? Loud and proud, right? So I'm going to need your support on this. I am single.
A Lawrence Welk.
Yes, I am. I am single. No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, I'm not really kidding, but I'm kind of kidding. I mean...
Yeah, she was nervous.
Remember when was it Rosie O'Donnell went on Ellen's show? She goes, I think I might be Lebanese, too. here she is again.
I already did my coming out about 1,000 years ago, back in the Stone Age, in those very quaint days when a fragile young girl would open up to trusted friends and family, co-workers, and then gradually, proudly to everyone who knew her, to everyone she actually met. But now, apparently, I'm told that every celebrity is expected to honor the details of their private life with a press conference, a fragrance, and a primetime reality show. And, you guys might be surprised, but I am not Honey Boo Boo Child. No, I'm sorry. That's just not me. It never was, and it never will be. But please don't cry, because my reality show would be so boring.
There's a lot of people crying in the audience. Good for her. I thought that was it was just, it made me wish I was dating her.
Yeah.
Here she is one last time.
There is no way I could ever stand here without acknowledging one of the deepest loves of my life, my heroic co-parent, my ex-partner in love, but righteous soul sister in life, my confessor, ski buddy, consigliere, most beloved BFF of 20 years, Sydney Bernard. Thank you, Sid. I am so proud of our modern family, our amazing sons, Charlie and Kit, who are my reason to breathe and to evolve, my blood and soul. And boys, in case you didn't know it, this song, like all of this, this song is for you.
Aw, that was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. What was I going to say? Oh, have million moms checked in yet? On
not yet. But what are they going to boycott? The beaver?
What? They're going to take their eye off the Ellen ball for a minute now. Yeah, here's what I want to say about that. Here's another one of, you know, this woman.
Oh, her.
This woman won't be checking in on this. Anti-gay activist Lisa Byron found guilty of child pornography after a videotaping daughter. Oh, wait, it gets worse. Lisa Byron, a New Hampshire lawyer who worked with an anti-gay Christian right organization.
Wow.
Has been found guilty of child pornography after she videotaped her own daughter having sex with two men on several occasions. Wait for it. Byron also videotaped herself having sex with her daughter.
Oh!
Just think I'm going to barf.
Well, if you look at her picture, you'd really barf.
Yeah, that well.
Splat. If it makes it better if she was Jim.
Makes it better if she's hot?
No!
Jim.
On Byron's Facebook page, she claims the Bible's her favorite book.
Especially the Old Testament with all the killing and
right.
smiting.
And that she worked for the Alliance Defending Freedom. That's a servant ministry, for those of you checking.
Which
seeking to transform the legal system for religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and marriage and family.
Yeah.
The group is blatantly anti-gay, issues dire warnings about the homosexual agenda.
Homosexual.
So there's that story.
Wow. She's got her own weird agenda.
Wowee. That's
wow. That's okay, so that's incest and pedophilia, as well as homosexuality.
Layers of
yikes.
Therapy probably
wow.
might come in handy there. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. His rudeness, a rude pundit coming up. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for Right Wing World. Much more as we roll along on a Monday show on The Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
To remind you of the mess you left when you went away. I don't know.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Mike in Chicago. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Oh, how about General Colin Powell handing the Republicans their ass at Meet the Press this weekend?
Yeah. A little thing of beauty.
Oh, when he's talking about how they use the dog whistle word shucking and jiving and lazy, he's like, I'm black and I know what those words mean.
I'm
just so glad finally someone's sticking up and finally coming forward.
You know, and Mike, Eric Bollert writes about this week. It really is, once again, we come to the word unprecedented. You know, most every president has gotten whoever they want in their cabinet, and this has become, they are just against anybody. It's a Republican. Chuck Hagel's a Republican, and they're still writing articles that he's not reaching out in a bipartisan fashion, right?
Yeah, and the head of the CIA, I mean, none of the Democrats even want this guy, and the Republicans don't want him just because the Democrats want him in, wants him in.
Yeah, exactly.
And Fox and Friends this morning never mentioned anything about Colin Powell. They even had Donald Trump on the air and never brought up how he thinks that the birthers are a bunch of ass clowns.
Yep.
Never mentioned anything, talked about Miss America, and Argo didn't win. Is this because the Academy's against pro-American movies? Just a nightmare.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, honey.
Republicans hate Chuck Hagel because he was right about Iraq.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's what they're saying. There's a big piece in the New York Times yesterday about the whole, it's like reactivated the neocons.
That's right.
You know, that's why they're, and by the way, so Bob Schieffer, speaking of Sunday shows, also asked John McCain. He grilled John McCain on why the GOP seems to, quote, be against every single person that President Obama has nominated to the cabinet. Schieffer said he couldn't remember a time when the opposing party has had such a problem with each of the president's nominations. It's usually been the rule, if the president's going to be in charge of the government, we have to give him the people he wants to run it. Check this out. McCain noted that Hagel was a friend, but claimed that usually with this process, the previous presidents would call the other side when considering a nomination and say, what do you think about it? Really? Oh, yeah, I remember George W. Bush calling John Kerry. What do you think about this? Should I do this? That's just patently untrue.
It is.
Yeah. He said there's been none of that with this administration. Oh, that's... I mean...
Why isn't Mitt Romney part of the Obama administration? He should be reaching out to the other side.
Yeah. No, somebody actually wrote that and without even mentioning that Chuck Hagel's a Republican. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that minor detail.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's see. Shelley in Illinois. Hey, Shelley. Welcome. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
Hi.
McCain, McConnell, Lindsey Graham. God, they're all dinosaurs. They're not like the young guns like Cantor Paul and that other McCarthy.
Yeah.
I had a small comment about McCain. I think he's the propaganda with the Republicans. It's so dangerous. They start talking about guns and Benghazi Gate, and it's just, you know, you can't
watch.
Bring up.
Watch, Shelley, when they, you know, there was a story yesterday, the president's going to bring forward comprehensive immigration reform. How much you want John McCain's going to be like, that's ridiculous. Who would ever come up with such a bill? Comprehensive immigration.
They're just tired and old and dinosaurs, and they're just gone. They'll never be back. And the young guns, McCarthy and Paul, I think they're gone too. But my point was the Republicans and propaganda, they don't go together. They're very dangerous. And, you know, if this Benghazi propaganda was brought up and it was a Republican and not Susan Rice, there would be no problem at all. It wouldn't be advertised. They wouldn't talk about it. And I'm just sick of it every time. You know, it wouldn't even be talked about. And McCain's just full of crap. He's full of crap every time he comes out.
And Eric Bollard,
propaganda.
Right. And Eric Bollard, by the way, is always great at that. Pointing out how irritating it is. It's not just, it's the mainstream media. They treat it like this is normal.
That's right.
This happens every time with every, I mean, first of all, they made sure that was before she even got nominated. They made sure Susan Rice was out of the running. I mean, it's really extraordinary.
It is.
Let's go to Paul in Michigan. Hi, Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Actually, I was calling about the last Friday. You guys were talking about the Australia gun ban.
Yes.
Okay. And everybody kept saying that crime had went up, and I believe it's John across the aisle there wanted them to cite a source.
Jim. Oh, Jim. Yes.
Jim. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, anyhow, the source for that would be the Australian government.
Uh huh.
And that is the Australian Bureau of Statistics. And okay, since the gun ban has went into effect, every major violent crime has went up.
Oh,
and that's
that.
Without, and that's including the homicide rate.
And what is your source for that statistic?
That is the Australian government.
Ah,
this is
okay.
After
we'll
the gun
Google
buyback.
That. No, obviously gun violence went way down.
No, right.
Are you talking about other kinds of violence? I don't. We'll Google it.
Well, clearly it has went up.
It has went up.
He has
seen
it on the internet.
It has went.
I couldn't get past that.
You're too grammar to care about actual crime statistics.
Exactly.
Like, oh my
that was
God,
a grammar
you
crime.
You just wreaked havoc on a sentence.
I has went.
They don't will
havoc.
Have.
Oh God.
Been gotten worse then. Wow, okay. You won't even buy whiskers for your cat.
No!
It's not spelled correctly.
It's not spelled correctly.
I'm not buying something that's misspelled.
You don't even like whimsy.
Oh, and I hate it when they spell it drive-through. THRU.
Oh! Matt in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller show.
Hey, good morning,
Steph. Hi, Matt.
Moops. Love your show.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Just one question, one comment about the last caller. Yes, violent crimes in Australia did go up, but deaths by gun dropped at a significant rate.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, yes, violent
we had
crimes
that
did
statistic.
Go up, but people aren't dead because of it.
Yeah.
Right. Some of them were kicked in the head by kangaroos, probably.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Or mauled to death by a rabid koala.
And that's
really
no picnic if it's happened to you. You get mistaken for eucalyptus. That doesn't end well.
I just got done registering my dog this weekend, and I'm like, I have to pay money to register my dog, and it goes into a database.
Yeah. I got a ticket for
what's
walking
so
my dog off
it?
A leash. I had to go to criminal court building. And you want to see this story in the L.A. Times, mentally ill, missing from gun background check system? Oh, enough to go because of the NRA. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, I thought it was very well crafted. The perfect combination of dirty and smart.
Stephanie Miller
was really quite elegant.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, thank you. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the fun day. Phone number. I was going to say it's Monday, and that's the phone number.
The fun day.
It's a fun day, too, right?
Sure.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not a fun day.
It's really not.
Oh.
Okay, it's time to get rude.
Sleep off of the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
You know what? I think there a hole in the time space continuum opened up because I quoted you all day Friday as opposed to Monday. I apologize.
What? Wow, what did I say?
Your piece on Sorry Gun Nuts, Hitler actually relaxed most gun laws, was really quite entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's pissed off a lot of gun nuts. So.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And you've probably heard from them, haven't you?
Yeah. You know, my favorite complaint I get from gun people is when they say, but, you know, Chicago banned guns, but look at all the gun crime they have. And I'm like, have you gone to any gun show in all of the towns in Illinois outside of Chicago?
Right, exactly.
Have you crossed the,
right.
the...
Oh, you can go somewhere in Illinois that's not Chicago? Well,
that's wow, you're
exactly.
kidding.
You know what? You know what? Guns actually are small enough for you to transport.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Back
well, I mean,
into Chicago and, on your person.
That's
look,
right.
and that's the biggest statistic. When you know, 40% of the guns out there are gotten that way. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's just whatever kind of you know. When people say, "Oh, we have enough laws in place," no, we don't. Obviously, right?
No, I think it was David Frum wrote today. He said, if you're too stupid to realize where you can get a gun without a background check, then you really shouldn't own a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just quoting this piece, but you got to read it. It's pretty infuriating. In the LA Times yesterday, many mentally ill missing from gun background check system. I mean, even that the NRA says is BS when they say, oh, yes, we want to stop mentally ill people. No, they don't care. They fight every single common sense gun measure, don't they, Rude?
Right. They want to stop. They don't want people on the terrorist watch list to be on any kind of list that to prevent them from getting guns.
Right. I mean, listen to this part of the article. The background check system, which became effective in 1998, was part of a 1993 law that prohibited people from possessing guns if they were convicted of a felony, addicted to drugs, committed domestic violence, or involuntarily sent to a mental institution. Gun rights organizations, including the NRA, have fought expansion of those checks.
Uh-huh.
Right.
The NRA says it supports making sure the names of quote-unquote violent schizophrenics are in the database. Oh, so you actually have to have committed gun violence before you can, I mean, really?
I guess it's a slippery slope from that to saying that people who think that teachers should be armed should be in the mental illness database.
Yeah. I mean, somebody was saying having 2 million prohibited purchasers out there whose names are not in the background check database is a ticking time bomb. I mean, literally they go through the Jared Loughner, the Virginia Tech guy. Those kind of rules would have stopped that.
And when we had the assault weapons ban, the gun crimes did not have went up.
Right. They have tripled since that thing.
Or that great thing that the great sad thing that Bill Clinton said last week that that half of the mass shootings in the United States have occurred since the end of the assault weapons
ban. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it just pick a statistic, right? Who was it? Was it Ray Kelly that said 85% of the children that are killed by guns are killed here in the United States?
Yes.
Like, that's not a...
Yes, we're number one.
Right.
Wait. 85% of the children... So we're talking, like, including Somalia?
Including Somalia.
Yes.
Wow. That just made me cry a little this morning. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. You're the Les Mis of shows.
Yes.
I am this morning. I
dreamed a dream. There were no guns.
Yeah, there you go. It is amazing because, you know, when you read this article, you realize that they are going to fight us on it. Does not matter what the president puts forward. They're going to fight any measure, right?
Oh, isn't it? That creepy SOB from that's I didn't think that the president of the NRA could be creepier than Wayne LaPierre.
Oh,
but
David Keene.
Yeah. Holy, I mean, you know, he's the kind of guy that you see standing on the corner staring at you, and you're wondering if he's just, you know, if he's going to follow you home.
Right.
It's just, you know, I hear him just essentially saying, we've got Congress in our back pocket. We, this organization, this super PAC has the Congress in our back pocket, and we will not have an assault weapons ban. if this was a left-wing organization, if it was a Soros-funded organization that said, oh, no, we know Congress is not going to pass some law, there would be like heads exploding all over the media.
Right.
But the NRA says it, and everybody goes, yeah, well, you know, he's probably just right.
Yeah, exactly, because they're so used to being terrified of them. Speaking of statistics, I don't know if you saw this one in the New Republic. The headline is, yes, really, ban all the guns. Which, speaking of making people's head explode, but they write, it is a fact. Guns kept in the home for self-protection are 43 times more likely, 43 times more likely to kill a family member, friend, or acquaintance than to kill an intruder, according to a study in the New England Journal of Medicine. I mean,
they actually had the researcher for that on NPR this morning.
Right.
And he said that after his research came out, that's when the NRA started attacking any funding of any government studies on gun violence.
Yeah.
To where, you know, no money could go to, say, a professor asking people, how many guns do you have in your house? How many times have you used them in self-defense? It's ludicrous. It's as if everybody thinks that someday they're going to be called upon to be Liam Neeson.
I have a very particular set of skills.
Exactly. And I very much enjoyed your piece. Ladies, GOP Representative Phil Gingrey is concerned about your tense vaginas.
Oh, that's so nice of him.
Yes, Republican former OBGYNs are really quite a terrifying breed, aren't they?
They are. They are. Republican doctors in general. Just, you know, how many of them diagnosed Terry Schiavo
yeah. right.
on their videotape?
Yes. Oh,
you know.
Yeah, he was in fact, he said that about Terry Schiavo. Without examining her, he said, the tragedy of the situation is with proper treatment, Terry's condition can improve.
Yes, yes, I guess maybe improve means they shift her.
Right.
But, this guy comes out and he defends Todd Akin.
Right.
Gingrey, and he says that Akin was right. There is something where adrenaline is released, and I guess when I tell women, and this is my favorite line, it didn't get as much publicity when he said I've delivered a lot of babies and I know about these things.
Yeah.
It is true. We tell infertile couples all the time that are having trouble conceiving because of the woman not ovulating, just relax, drink a glass of wine.
Right.
Again, something that you think every rapist wants to say.
I was going to say, if that were true, I'd have like 14 kids by now.
Yeah, don't be so tense and uptight, because all that adrenaline can cause you not to ovulate.
Right.
So they're saying you can spontaneously abort when because of all the adrenaline.
Sure.
They should be against that, you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
stunning.
Don't try to logic this out.
No.
It is. Well, yeah, thank you for bringing it to our attention. Spectacular as usual. A medical fun fact I had not heard. All right. Thank you, Rodney. See you Monday, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yay.
Here it goes. Let's go to Alicia in Minneapolis. Hi, Alicia. Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Sorry. I was just putting my phone back on speaker because I was waiting so long.
I am sorry.
That's okay. Say, I was on the interwebs while I was on hold, and actually the U.S. has 142% higher homicide by guns and gun violence than Australia, just so we can be clear on that.
Right. There you
go. But I don't know what the rate went up in terms of after they had this assault weapons ban. But currently it's 140 times higher here.
Right.
The reason that I
You
am
say that like it's a bad thing. That's what
it's
I love is
they try to
spin statistics like somehow it's
right.
That's good. That's not so bad. Yeah, go ahead.
No.
That's bad. Yeah, exactly. The reason that I'm calling is because I feel like we have a really big chance to actually get some change with this gun control. I don't
right.
know that we're going to, but I feel like this is our only opportunity. One's not going to come around anytime soon.
Alicia, I was thinking. Right. I don't think any of us want to imagine something worse than Sandy Hook. Really? I mean, you know what I mean? You're right. If you cannot get it done now, I don't know when you will.
Absolutely. And so I was just wondering, you know, if I was you or Ed Schultz, I know you're not mainstream media. I understand that.
No.
But if I was in the position you're in, I just had some suggestions that I wish that you would think about. And, like, you know, free speech is the first you know, amendment.
Right.
And we can't say whatever we want. It's been challenged. There's cases in the Supreme Court that speech is absolutely regulated. You can be sued if you say things that are false about somebody.
Right.
And so, and it doesn't even say well-regulated speech in the First Amendment. The Second Amendment starts out with a well-regulated militia.
Yep.
That's the only one that has a condition.
And so,
yeah.
I wish that you guys and the mainstream media would, you know, just talk. There's cases. There's a Washington, D.C. versus Heller or Keller. I don't know. It was pretty big.
Right.
Supreme Court case where even the conservative judges in their dissent had said, you know, they did talk about the First Amendment and free speech. Or I'm sorry, that's not
Second
the First
Amendment,
but free
right.
speech. Well, free speech isn't the First Amendment, is it?
No, I'm sorry. No, free speech is the First Amendment. Go ahead.
It is. Okay. So they talked about free speech, and anyways, they did say that they absolutely do have a right to regulate guns. But, you know, this horrible law in D.C. was so liberal. I don't want to call it liberal, but it was saying that you had to have your gun disassembled in your home if you weren't using it. And it was just like you could not protect yourself with this law. It was a horrible law. It was, you know, too, I don't know if you want to call it liberal or what, but it didn't make sense.
All right, well, we will Google that. I'm not entirely certain what she was talking about. I think she thinks I have huge power in the media, and
yes.
Yet she treats me like a drive-thru employee.
Well, there's District of
I have been waiting too long.
Why doesn't somebody fix
Where
all the problems?
We have 10 incoming lines. You're going to be waiting. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
However.
And my fries are cold.
let's see. District of Columbia versus Heller in 2008 was the first Supreme Court case in United States history to decide whether the Second Amendment protects an individual right to keep and bear arms for self-defense.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The left roars back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, get in line. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Vice President Biden talking yesterday.
Federal weapons trafficking statute to universal background checks to making more widely available mental health assistance.
Yeah, we got to post this piece from the LA Times. If this doesn't make you mad, I don't know what will. Many mentally ill missing from gun background check system, swept along by the tide of outrage and sorrow after the 2007 Virginia Tech massacre, Congress passed a law to try to prevent future tragedies by keeping guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. The measure signed by George W. Bush promised to strengthen the 14-year-old National Instant Criminal Background Check system by establishing incentives and penalties to prod states to submit records of people legally barred under federal law from buying guns, including those who had been committed to mental institutions. Today, that promise remains unfulfilled. More than half the states haven't provided mental health records to the federal database that gun dealers use to check on buyers. Improving that system has emerged as one of the focus of the Obama administration's plans for combating gun violence. But I was talking to Rude Pundit about some of these details, Jim, and it is so infuriating about the NRA. It just makes you realize everything they say, they're just giving lip service. Oh, well, of course we want to keep up. Didn't Wayne LaPierre... That first of all, that press conference was like, that guy shouldn't have a gun. But, I mean, he was ranting about mental illness being the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't want to help in any way.
No,
trust
they don't.
Me with that. The background check system, which became effective in 1998, was a part of a 1993 law prohibiting people from possessing guns if they were convicted of a felony, addicted to drugs, committed domestic violence, or involuntarily sent to a mental institution. But gun rights organizations like the NRA have fought expansion of those checks, though the NRA says it supports making sure the names of violent schizophrenics are in the database.
God.
Meaning you have to commit gun violence to get in the database.
Wow.
To try to, yeah. The group also made it tougher for states to comply by successfully lobbying for a provision in the 2007 law that requires an appeals process so the mentally ill can seek to have their gun rights restored. States must set that up before they can receive federal grants to help collect records. As many as 2 million mental health records are not in the system, which Right. As I was saying,
what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Right. Is a ticking time bomb, as the director of Mayors Against Illegal Guns said. Tighter standards in 2007 might have prevented the Virginia Tech shooter from buying guns. He passed two background checks, even though a judge had found him to be a danger to himself and ordered him to get mental health treatment. Jared Loughner, too, was able to pass background checks despite mounting evidence of mental problems. He had not been involuntarily committed to an institution or convicted of crimes, the main triggers under the law.
If you just saw a picture of him, you'd know there's something
there
right there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Wow. I mean, this is the crux of the problem, is how do we, they literally, the NRA is working to make sure.
Yep. Because they represent the manufacturers.
Right. Yeah. So in Alabama, for example, state officials decided to submit the names of people who'd been involuntarily committed to institutions only when they'd been found guilty of, quote, inappropriate use of firearms.
As in murder.
Right.
Yeah.
God.
I mean...
horse is gone.
I mean, right.
Let's close the barn door.
Yes, close the barn door. Everybody get on that. I mean, that's exactly it. If you're going to have a reasonable discussion, you have to have other reasonable people at the table. All right, and not that guy, for instance. That guy, thank God, we got his gun.
Him.
State suspends handgun carry permit of tactical response CEO. You know that guy?
Yep.
The state of Tennessee has suspended the handgun carry permit of James Yeager, who recently said he would start killing people should Obama take executive action on gun control. Because he's
crazy.
A little missing the point. See of the.
And he said all this on camera. So...
On camera, yeah. Yes. State officials explained they revoked the permit because of Yeager's material likelihood of risk of harm to the public.
And because of bad publicity, because he said it out loud on TV.
He released a second video on Thursday in which he refused to back down from his statements. He said, I don't condone anyone committing any kind of felonies up to and including any aggravated assaults or murders, unless it's necessary.
Because there's a black guy in the White House.
Right now, it's not necessary. Oh, I see, but there will be a point when felonies are just...
When is it necessary to commit a felony?
Yeah, there's just...
Sir?
Okay.
Good
be
God.
A day when there's some felonies don't count.
Alex Jones, what he thinks about that.
Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Yes. You are definitely worth waiting for.
We'll have
Jodie Foster about that.
Okay, go ahead, Jill.
Anyway, yeah, there is going to be a Million Mom March, the Good Million Moms.
Okay.
In Washington, D.C., and that's going to be on Saturday, January 26th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and about the show, I need a scholarship to get to the one in Washington. I've been to Syracuse, Ithaca, and New York City.
Wow!
And, we need the guy who's going to kill you for the insurance money to put out a scholarship so people can get to this
such
one.
Such a liberal scholarship. All right, honey, we will check into that. A three-time Stepaholic. Good job. Nicely done.
Nice.
Les in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Les. All right, Les.
Hello, good morning.
All right, gentle down. Hello.
Well, great to hear and talk to you. First time caller.
Thank you. Go ahead.
You got a great show. I wanted to talk about the intractability of what's happened to the Republican Party. We have a moderate Republican governor here in Nevada, and although things are bad in the city, I live out in a small town that our unemployment rate here is 5.6%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing pretty good out here. No matter what President Obama tries to put forward, the Republicans are going to go against it because the nut wings of the party have taken over.
Nut wings?
They really
That's
have.
A new one.
I like that.
I like that. Thank you. Okay. Nut wings.
The nut wing of the Republican Party, if you will.
It's just a little twist on wing nuts. Okay.
Wing nuts are in the nut wing, where they should be.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Speaking of which, wow, have you seen the South Carolina Tea Party t-shirts?
Oh, yeah.
A racially charged T-shirt featuring President Obama as a witch doctor who has hijacked medicine through the Affordable Care Act has become popular at a South Carolina Tea Party convention. The shirt depicts Obama as a medicine man in tribal clothes with a bone through his nose.
Nice. Hmm.
And it reads, Obama is your new doctor, coming soon to a clinic near you.
I thought the Tea Party claimed they didn't do that sort of thing. But here they are doing it again.
Well, Bob Kramer, the creator of the shirt, claims the shirt is not racist.
Oh, God, no. Of course not, no.
He said, some people tell me it's racist. Racist.
Yeah.
Really, Bob? Huh. That's, wow. But some people are so
sensitive.
Some
people tell me you're a redneck.
But Dana Loesch keeps telling me that the Tea Party is not racist.
Hmm. Huh, some say. Some say. That's interesting. Some say that, really? Has a witch doctor bone through the nose? No.
No, no.
What?
No.
It's not racist. That's political. Okay.
Right. So is the Civil War.
Yes. All right. So that happened.
And we all let
yes,
it happen.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. All right.
That
Eric
sounds
Bowler.
Like a nutwing.
Right. Mm. Eric Bowler from Media Matters with some great stuff on the Chuck Hagel nomination, among other things, as we continue Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Phone number toll free from anywhere. We will wind Jackie up for a healthcare corner later on health insurance. Rates getting jacked up. I had to take a minute from my white-hot hatred of the NRA to focus on something else for a minute.
Your white-hot hatred of people who are against Obamacare?
Right. Insurance companies jacking up rates in advance of Obamacare. Just saying. All right. So lots to get to. It's a Monday, so you know what that means. Eric Bowler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bowler. Eric Bowler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bowler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bowler.
Good morning, Eric Bowler.
Good morning.
I loved your tweets, as always. I love the one you said, NRA's Wayne LaPierre warns of mass executions of gun owners. hyperbole much?
You know, we're supposed to be having this debate, right? I mean...
You know,
poor Barack Obama, I mean, reminds me of the fiscal cliff negotiations. You know, his partner across the table is John Boehner, who can't get Republicans to do much of anything. And now we're supposed to have this national debate, and Obama's sitting across from the NRA, which is like, you know, Looney Tunesville in terms of the absolute refusal to talk about anything and in terms of any sort of sensible gun control, the kind of sensible initiatives that Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. supported in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're just saying basically we just need 100 million more guns. I mean, how is Obama supposed to have any kind of give and take when you're sitting or when at least the press seats you at the table with a radical group like the NRA?
Well, I just was quoting from a piece, Eric, in the LA Times about how they have done everything they can to make it harder to report the mentally ill. Everything they say, they're not prepared. When he comes to, you know, yesterday and says the assault ban won't pass, it's like,
right.
This isn't a partner that's willing to talk about any part of this, right?
No, right. And you know, if you go back to the NRA of the 60s and 70s and early the 80s, that's not what the group was about. I mean, they have become wildly more radical. I also have to say incredibly disgusting the way since the school massacre in Connecticut, NRA has bragged about how much money they've raised specifically in the wake of the massacre and how many more members they have in connection to the massacre. It's really, they're just sort of, you know, just wildly responsible people.
Eric, you know, and it reminds me, the other stuff you wrote about this week, I mean, there is a connection. When you just said these are gun laws that Reagan was for, their hero.
Yeah.
I mean, this, again, is further evidence of how far right this party has gone. So he nominates Chuck Hagel, Republican, and gets accused of not reaching out in a bipartisan fashion. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, that was kind of amazing, and I sort of I went after the Beltway Press on that one. I mean, these are the people that have been wringing their hands about why can't Obama change the tone of Washington? Why won't he reach across the aisle?
Right.
You know, and Chuck Hagel would be a pretty good example of reaching across the aisle. He gets no credit, and then the Republican Party, you know, spends its resources trying to block a Republican from joining the cabinet. It just shows, I don't think the press is really interested. you know, in changing the tone in Washington because, you know, they're not willing to give Obama credit for anything.
Well, and as you write, the unprecedented campaign to derail Obama's nominees and derail people who haven't even been nominated yet is an unheard of political strategy in modern American politics, but the press insists on treating it as commonplace. I mean, that's the crux of it.
Yeah, we saw it with Susan Rice. You know, never before have we seen a preemptive attack against a possible Secretary of State nominee. We haven't even seen that kind of, you know, coordinated, we're going to block the vote type of attack on someone who was nominated Secretary of State. Secretary of State's for a couple of centuries in this country were passed unanimously.
Yep.
But the press pretended, oh, you know, Susan Rice, you know, they're going to preemptively smear an attacker. Oh, this is normal. This is what's always happens. It's not. It's never happened before. And the same with Chuck Hagel. We've never seen anything like this. And they refused to include that one sentence in every Hagel article. We've never seen anything like this.
Right. Well, as you say, you write, meanwhile, the day after Obama nominated a Republican, a Vietnam veteran from Nebraska who scored a lifetime rating of 85 from the American Conservative Union, the Wall Street Journal wrote a column lamenting the failure of politicians like Obama to work across the aisle in a bipartisan measure. No mention that Nick Hagel's a Republican in the article.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, why, you know, this lack of bipartisanship has been Obama's fault from the day he was inaugurated in 2009. I mean, the Beltway press laid that trap for him. Why won't you fix it? Why can't you fix it? And completely ignoring the radical, you know, strategy the Republicans had adopted, particularly in the House. So we've seen this for four, and now we're going on 5 years. Obama, it's up to you to fix the bipartisan gridlock. Oh, and by the way, when you reach out, you know, and pick a conservative Republican to join your cabinet, we're not going to give you any credit.
Right. And
we're still not going to blame Republicans for trying to block it.
Listen, Eric, I say screw it. He's not going to get credit anyway. He's just nominate Bill Ayers. I mean, really. and as you say, I'm kind of glad Crystal's championing the anti-Hagel fight. It reminds everyone how he and the neocons got everything wrong about the Iraq War. I mean, here we are fighting this again. The neocons are back, right?
Yeah, they're back and they're treated with respect by the press. You know, front page story on the New York Times yesterday. Neocons fighting, you know, Chuck Hagel. This is where they're getting their resources, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, the liberal anti-war activists who were right about the Iraq War don't get this kind of respect, and they're not treated as seriously as the people who got everything wrong.
Yeah,
and Chuck Hagel got everything right, and that's why they hit him.
Right. Yeah. And it just shows you the complete imbalance in terms of the D.C. press and how they still view the Iraq War and the people who got everything wrong. They're kind of serious. We should pay attention to them. The people got everything right. Well, they're just sort of these hippies.
Yeah. Peaceniks like Chuck Hagel. Yeah,
right.
Okay. All right.
Nebraska, a hotbed of hippiedom.
Yeah. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Okay, Monica Crowley on the Fox Business Channel.
Remember in 2008, he talked about the fundamental transformation of the nation. For the last 4 years, we have understandably been focused on the economic aspect of that, wealth redistribution, socialized medicine, class warfare. But what we see now with the guns is the cultural part of that equation. Yeah. Remember, his first chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, infamously once said, never let a good crisis go to waste.
By the way,
this Newtown tragedy, they're not going to allow this to go to waste. They will leverage that to do this fundamental transformation of the Second Amendment if they can.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Mm. Isn't that
right? Because when the nation faces a crisis, when it faces a Columbine, when it faces Oklahoma City, leaders are supposed to do absolutely nothing. Because if you do anything, you're exploiting it, right? I mean, this sort of upside down logic.
Yeah.
But Crowley's definitely onto something. You know, when Obama was inaugurated four years ago, you go back to February, April 2009, the charges from the right wing media were across the board that he was going to take your guns.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to, this is why Obama wanted to become president, so he could take your guns. 4 years later, the administration has done nothing on guns, but now we're having this aha moment. We were right all along.
Right.
You know, now we're seeing the real Obama in the second term, and he's definitely going to
avoid
the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
The proof is that he hasn't done anything.
But that's just, you know, right. What she just said, though, Eric, I mean, it really does border on just that lunatic fringe, doesn't it? Like, the president really went, oh, good, some six-year-olds got, shot. I mean, it really, that's that lunatic fringe that they sort of dance on, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. And again, the way leaders are supposed to respond to crisis is to ignore them.
Right.
Otherwise, people it's like Michael Crowley will claim you're exploiting.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, 9/11. Well, right. So after 9/11, what was Bush supposed to have done?
Nothing.
You know, according to Crowley, you're not going to do anything because he exploited. You know.
Well,
you know,
he
exploited that tragedy. Come on.
Yeah. But Bush actually did exploit the tragedy. That's why we got the Patriot Act. Gazettes.
Andrew
called it in the 30s.
Yep, Napolitano on Britt Baer.
Their attitude, the president, the attorney general, the vice president, the folks that work with them, is we have to find some way, any way, to diminish the right to keep and bear arms. Because they believe, they belong to a school of thought that believes the government can protect us better than we can protect ourselves, and we should be subservient to the government rather than the government being subservient to us. And one way to do that is to take away our guns.
God, what
a bunch of morons.
I mean, let's go ahead, Eric.
This is definitely we're seeing the embrace of two conspiracy theories. One is Obama wants to take away your guns just like Hitler did.
Right.
So Obama's like Hitler. And the reason Americans need guns is because the government eventually,
right,
the American government will eventually turn tyrannical, and we need, you know, our assault weapons to,
sure,
to fight the United States in this living
so
civil war.
Shoot down B-52s and
right,
you know,
so we can shoot down drones and
right,
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is now basically the mainstream conservative talking point. We don't need guns for hunting and self-defense.
Yeah.
We need guns because we're going to wage war against
right,
the government,
yeah,
not if, but when.
Right,
yeah, they tried
that
before in the South in the 1860s. Didn't work out so well for them.
I think as Rude Pundit wrote, you'll hear just a nearly silent whoosh before you vaporize.
Yeah.
But
no,
I'm sure they'll be
that
really scared of whatever weapon you have.
No, missiles coming more than the speed of sound, you don't hear it.
You don't hear anything.
You're dead before you can hear anything.
I think Rude called it blood vapor. Okay.
Yeah.
Charles Gasparino on Cavuto.
What makes this scary is that we are destimulating the economy as these programs. I think that's
I know.
What,
so
what
how the, do you get out of that?
Listen,
how do
you want to get out of that? You got to get the right people in government. I mean, anybody to think that raising taxes on people who make $400,000 a year is going to do anything to the deficit and is not going to hurt this economy, not hurt
you know,
businesses.
What, Charlie, I'll disagree with you two here. Look, you're overlooking
you think it's stimulative to raise taxes right now, and that's going to be
no,
good.
We are
for
having a housing
for,
recovery. We're having an auto recovery.
Well, you go
we
from
have
one
positive
to,
things
Adam,
going
Adam,
on in the
Adam,
economy.
Adam, when you go from one to two, that's a big increase.
What? How is that destimulating the economy to tax millionaires, multimillionaires?
It's not like they're going to spend less because they're being taxed more.
Yeah.
Well, that's the claim. You know, these are the job creators. You must leave them alone.
In China.
You know, you cannot interfere with their sort of magical spell they cast over the U.S.
Yes, they're very fragile.
And the super rich party.
They are. But more importantly, who let that guest on Fox News to talk about the housing recovery?
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Yikes. You don't use the word recovery anywhere.
Oh,
all right,
God,
Eric
no.
Bollard remains in the sidecar. We continue with the Scotiamore Right Wing World after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollard from Media Matters. Some great stuff this week. Go read it. Get it. We continue Right Wing World. Rush Limbaugh, must we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unemployment benefits are paid to people who are not working. And when they're not working, what are they doing? They're watching television.
They're looking for
or
work.
Or they're reading TMZ. Or they're playing video games. Now, granted, they're going out and buying stuff. Jack Daniels. Smirnoff Ice. Chips. Lottery tickets and so forth.
Wow, he has such a keen understanding of the downtrodden.
Like
knows exactly what they purchase.
Yeah, I'd like to see how he would live on unemployment insurance.
Yeah.
How long would that last? About 10 minutes?
Well, he's clinging to such an old stereotype. I mean, he's clinging to the right-wing picture of what they see as unemployed in America for decades. And you know, let's face it, he's talking, he's clinging to a minority stereotype.
Welfare
if Rush Limbaugh thinks, you know, the 7-8% unemployed Americans today are basically people in the cities buying lottery tickets and Jack Daniels. I mean, it's amazing. I would be fascinated to know what percentage of his audience is unemployed at this point. Because I guarantee it's a healthy segment.
And when
the national rate is that high, he's getting his fair share, trust me.
And in kind of a personal, isn't it ironic, File Eric, as you probably know, his Sandra Fluke, you know, slut right. comments have hurt literally everybody in the radio business, including right-wing shows, including progressive shows, because he's made the ad environment so
that's right.
hostile in radio that a lot of stations are either switching to sports or they're, you know, people aren't buying advertising in radio. To Rush Limbaugh, right. who's the only one not hurt because he has so many stations, but I mean it is amazing his concern for people less well off than himself.
Yeah, but it nicely captures the utterly heartless view of you know, working class America.
Yeah, exactly. Sean Hannity on the radio.
People that are fed up with a power hungry, radicalized, abusive federal government intruding into every aspect of our lives. Mm-hmm. People are going to say they're fed up, and states are going to want more liberty and more freedom. And they're not going to want to tax their citizens to death anymore. If this pattern continues and gets worse and worse and worse, I could see at some point states saying, forget it. We don't want to be a part of this union anymore.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Boy, things are so tough for Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
But this is part of that sort of, you know, insurrectionism, revolutionary, civil war, sedition. Talk we're hearing now, and it's amazing. We heard the exact same thing in the winter of 2009 when Obama was sworn in.
Yep.
And now 4 years later, we're going back to the exact same thing, this time pumped up a little bit by the gun debate. But they're just re-hitting their greatest hits about, you know, we need to arm ourselves against this tyrannical, president. And it's it hasn't gotten better. The rhetoric has just gotten worse and more hateful, I think.
Well, and, you know, as we always talk about what is unprecedented, I mean, seriously, since when? People have been losing elections ever since we founded this republic.
Right?
Since when has all these states, you know, wanted to secede? Really?
Right, I know. Yeah. Remember when Democrats, you know, were getting their head handed to them by Reagan and Bush Sr.?
Right.
Where was all this rhetoric about, you know, the joke was I'm going to move to Canada,
right.
And that joke lasted like a week. No, you know, here we are 4 or 5 years later, and it's still the same sort of blood-curdling rhetoric we hear.
Yep, absolutely. Fox and Friends with a handwriting expert.
Yes.
Well, then
on Jacob Liu's signature.
Oh.
Yeah.
This loopy signature could soon be seen on every American dollar bill. That, of course, is the signature of Jack Lew, the current White House chief of staff, was nominated to be the country's next Treasury Secretary.
What you see is a bunch of circles, and it's repetitive. And what that means is the person is compulsive. The thing you also want to notice is you absolutely cannot read anything in it, not one letter. And when you cannot read a signature, it means that person doesn't want to give you any information about their personal life at all.
Oh, so it's like secret and compulsive.
Almost like having a pyramid and an eye on the dollar bill. Seditious.
Wow. I guess that passes for journalism, Eric. That's...
I guess. I mean, a lot of people sort of laughed at, you know, it became a bit of a story last week. And
yeah.
When you look at it, it's truly a bizarre signature, and it's going to be on the dollar. Only Fox News, though, you know, tried to look into the insights and what it told us about the shortcomings of the psyche of the new Treasury. I mean, leave it to Fox, right?
And his personal life has what to do with his job as the hot?
Right.
I'm a little confused. Yeah, I know you can't read my signature either, so who knows what I'm up to, right?
You're secretive and compulsive.
Right.
You've been hiding your relationship to Jodie Foster for years.
Right. Fortunately, I'm not going to be Secretary of the Treasury. All right, Eric Boehler, great stuff as always. We will see you next week.
Okay, talk to you.
All right. All right, honey. Thank you.
Although I would like to have his signature on every dollar bill because then it would look like a Hostess cupcake.
Yes, it does.
It looks festive to me.
I know. I love it.
I know it.
There's no more Hostess, so you know, you can have the little remnant of a cupcake on the
His signature makes me happy. Seriously.
It's magical.
Yes.
It's loopy. And
maybe it was an homage to Hostess cupcakes.
Let me just. Oh, so that was 32 seconds of our life that no one will ever get back.
Right. Oh, it went on for 5 minutes. I distilled it. Yeah.
Jeez. The handwriting expert.
Yeah.
On, okay.
On Fox and Friends.
Good. Well, thank God we're paying attention to the important issues facing the country today.
Yep.
All right. Back to the gun debate. Why not? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be open minds and new horizons. Get ready for
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Alan in Texas on guns. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Hey.
How y'all doing this morning?
Good. Good, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to point out a couple of differences between a military assault weapon and a civilian's. Assault weapons or assault rifles. First off, in the military, you can't have an aftermarket high capacity clip in it. And also, the military has to shoot a non-expandable bullet. Civilians shoot lead or any bullet that expands. Basically, when it goes in, it's going to come out about the size of your fist. And the military is designed to go in and come out about the same size.
Mm-hmm.
Military, the Geneva Convention is basically says, I want to wound people. That way another person has to come out there and pick him up. I can wound that person. Military weapons, assault rifles, are not designed to kill. They're designed to wound. Civilian weapons are designed to kill.
So it's a copper-jacketed bullet as opposed to a frangible.
Yeah, with lead inside.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes size, you know, about a baseball size coming out.
Yeah, wow. Okay, that's facts I'd hope not.
Yeah.
Picture this morning, but this is, I mean, I was reading this story over the weekend. I mean, this is what we've come to. I guess this is the good news.
Okay.
In medical triumph, homicides fall despite soaring gun violence. I mean, basically because medicine's learning to have to deal with military-type injuries.
Right.
Is this our new normal? That we're like, oh, well, we're able to fix you if you get shot with a, you know. The number of U.S. homicides has been falling for 2 decades, but America has become no less violent. The reported number of people treated for gunshot attacks from 2001 to 2011 has grown by nearly half. Did everyone suddenly become a lousy shot all of a sudden? No, said a police executive. He said the potential for a victim to survive a wound is greater than it was 15 years ago. In other words, more people in the U.S. are getting shot, but doctors have gotten better at patching them up. Improved medical care doesn't account for the entire decline in homicides, but experts say it's a major factor. It's just, I'm going,
assuming you have health insurance.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like I know I'm going, well, I guess that's good, but, right.
Yeah.
It's like General McChrystal says, this is why these guns don't belong, military-style weapons don't belong on in civilian hands.
Maybe being shot will be deemed a pre-existing condition, because you're going to get shot someday.
Right, right. How about this one? California Gun Show draws 10,000 people getting ready for the next revolution. What drew estimated 10,000 people to a Northern California gun show? Simple, according to one attendee, they're scared. Bob DeZiel, please and thank you, said Obama wants to take everyone's guns away. So they're down here buying ammo, buying guns. They're getting ready for the next revolution.
You should be afraid of your fellow gun show attendees, because they're all crazy like you are.
Well, I don't know that you can say they're all crazy.
Jaylene Harris, who presumably knows Lurleen.
Jaylene.
Oh, boy.
So that's why we all need to get them now before they take them away, says Jaylene Harris, who bought an AR-15 assault rifle, the same weapon used in last month's shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary. I have three more at home. This is the fourth.
And what did she use them for?
Jaylene doesn't say. Jaylene's very excited. She just bought her fourth military assault.
Apparently not enough kids have died.
Right. Okay. Jim in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Correct me if I say anything that's out of place here. The NRA has come out saying that we need to watch out for people who are mentally unstable, correct?
Right, like Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So The NRA has provided boilerplate language that is being forwarded as a bill by our, it has the support of our Republican governor down here in Florida, that would make it a criminal offense for a doctor to inquire if a patient owns guns.
Right.
Wow.
Now, who is it that determines whether somebody is crazy?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably a doctor.
Exactly. Jim,
probably
read the,
a doctor.
Right.
He can't ask if they own guns?
Yeah.
What?
No, read the piece we just posted. I mean,
go take my blood pressure medication.
Yes. No, read the piece we posted about how many, there's 2 million people are not on in this database because the NRA fights every single, at every turn. You literally have
exactly.
to be a violent, someone's committed violence with a gun and been confined to a mental institution to not get a gun. I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know what the two true test of being too crazy to own one of those weapons is?
That you want one?
That you want to
yeah.
own
or
one.
Or if you
right.
want four.
Right.
Like
if you
yeah.
want, if you
That's
want
right.
one or more than one or however you want to phrase it, but if you want to own one of those, you're too crazy to be able to allow
Thank
it.
You. Exactly. Jim and I have a, we did a delightful impromptu skit.
Yes.
That should be the only, it's a very simple background check. Jim, go ahead. Do the
do
background check.
Do you want an AR-15 with a 100-round clip?
Yes.
Then you can't have one.
Okay. There you go. Simple, seamless, done. I said, I learned that in Catholic school. Does God answer all your prayers? Yes.
Computer says yes.
Sometimes he
says no.
Computer says no.
Sometimes the answer is no.
Are you a deer hunter?
Yes.
You
so
need,
I get to be as lonely as Jodie Foster?
Do you need a hunter round clip?
Yes. Yes,
then you're not a hunter.
Stephen Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Stephen.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Go ahead.
First, I just wanted to say I personally believe that there were 27 victims at Sandy Hook. I think the kid that pulled the trigger was a victim also. But my primary
yeah.
call because of the body armor. I don't hear anybody really mentioning body armor, and I'm curious as to how many people would actually go out and commit these atrocities if they weren't fully armored.
Well, yeah, and then, Stephen, in some ways, you go, what's the point? Because he killed himself anyway. I mean, I don't even, that's, I mean,
well,
again.
Because he didn't want to be badly wounded.
Well,
right.
That's true.
Right.
I mean, he saw the cops come and he killed himself. But again, he was, you know, he's a, I don't know how else to say. I mean, I'm bipolar and everything else myself, but he's also a victim, you know, of the system. You know, he was mentally unstable and they just neglected it. His mother said that she had him in control. That should have had all kinds of red flags going up when she said I got him under control.
Yeah. Well, and the having an arsenal in the house.
Yeah.
Tattercat
has another rule for gun buying. If the phrase "pry them from my cold dead hands" has ever passed your lips, then you don't get a gun.
You don't get one.
Yeah. So I think that's a good rule of thumb.
This was, again, we've been, you know, talking about various statistics that kind of take your breath away. But this one in the New Republic, it is a fact, as I said earlier, guns kept in the home for self-protection, 43 times more likely to kill a family member, friend, or acquaintance than to kill an intruder, according to a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Guns on the street make us less safe. This is the New Republic article entitled, Yes, Really, Ban All the Guns.
Yeah.
For every justifiable handgun homicide, there are more than 50 handgun murders, according to the FBI. The expanding right to carry concealed weapons makes us even less safe. So what right is being protected if not the right to be safe? The right to feel safe at the expense of actual safety? Good stuff by, who is this, Noam Schreiber in the New Republic. He says, how many of the nearly 3,000 children who are killed by firearms in the U.S. each year does the good of hunting justify? All of them? A handful? How many of the students and faculty of Virginia Tech? And what's so good about hunting anyway? It's rarely talked about, but hunting for sport, it's just about as vile as we humans get. But he's going after all the sacred cows, literally. Bush speechwriter Matthew Scully said, most wicked deeds are done because the doer proposes some good to himself. The killer for sport has no such comprehensible motive. He prefers death to life, darkness to light. He gets nothing except the satisfaction of saying something that wanted to live is dead. Can someone explain to me why that's acceptable or why the love of death should be more important than the safety of the 94% of us who don't have hunting licenses and don't hunt?
Well, if you're killing a deer for the meat, you know, that's
right.
one thing. Or if you're you're culling the herd, if there's something like the wasting disease,
right.
that, you know, that's...
Yeah.
But if you're doing it just for fun, to watch something die,
that's...
And I know
twisting.
People say, let's not judge. I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should at this point. Go to Let's go to Ron in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Look, Travis County is in the city of Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yep.
And they were planning to have a gun show. This weekend, the Attorney General of Texas said that that if they cancel the gun show, that he was going to sue the county.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, this is, it's kind of...
On what grounds?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right to have a gun show and sell more guns to people with absolutely no background check.
Right.
It's more important. All right, Joe Biden yesterday.
As this president said, diminish the possibility of only save one kid's life as a consequence.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, the question you got to get to. Like, how, you know, at what point is it worth all of it? What did I just say? What is the number? 3,000 of our kids a year are slaughtered by guns. And, you know, at what point do you go, this is worth it or that's worth it? Joe, not if it's your kid, right?
Right.
Joe Biden.
We know this is a complex problem. We know there's no single answer, and quite frankly, we don't even know whether some of the things people think impact on this actually impact on it or not. And so I want you to know you have not been, quote, singled out for help.
Judy in California, real quick. Hey, Judy.
Hi, sweet
Hi.
Stephanie and Moogs.
Hey,
you
Joe.
Touched on the subject I wanted to talk about, the mother of the shooter. Right after this horrendous thing, I saw some interviews with friends of hers and how much she loved this boy, how much she wanted to protect him, how much she was worried about him, blah, blah, blah. As a responsible gun owner, this woman, from all I understand, was a responsible gun owner. She did what the NRA tells you to do. Teach your children to shoot. Teach them about the guns. Put them under lock and key. And
well,
this precious woman did not see any correlation between mental illness and guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
She couldn't. They don't even think that way, I guess. When you think that you can have that kind of gun in your home, when it was right in front of her heart's eye, I know she loved this boy.
Right.
But she,
Judy,
knew
she
was
right, and she didn't. She didn't do the last thing you said. Obviously, keep it under lock and key. I mean, you're right. It's the combination.
From the way I understand, her friend said yes, they were under lock
but
and key.
The kid
That's
found
why
the key.
Wayne LaPierre did not mention it. I don't think anybody's mentioned it. She was a responsible gun owner.
I see what you're saying.
It's crazy. You can't be a responsible gun owner and you don't see the mental illness in front of your face.
Yep.
You don't correlate the two. God love her and God love those precious souls that were lost.
Yep.
And the NRA just will not. Except that there is no responsible gun owner that can own a gun that can slaughter.
Yep. Good point.
Bipolar kids tend to be very smart, and this kid certainly knew where to find the key.
Yeah, well,
to,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah. Right. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Aha, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, Jim, what could go wrong here? Gun nuts to build a 2,000-acre citadel in Ohio, in Idaho.
Citadel, that sounds...
Waco-y? Mm-hmm. We've all heard of gated communities. We've all heard about the Second Amendment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you put the two together? How about a fortified community? That's the latest right-wing tactic. A group of like-minded patriots bound together by pride and American exceptionalism plan on building an armed community to protect their liberty. The group named Citadel intends to purchase 2,000 to 3,000 acres for the project in western Idaho. Oh, boy.
That never ends well.
The community will comprise of 3,500 to 7,000 families of patriotic Americans, quote,
okay,
who voluntarily choose to live together in accordance with Thomas Jefferson's ideal of rightful liberty.
Ironically, they're putting themselves in their own self-devised concentration camp.
Yes.
In their own
prison.
Citadel.
Yeah. Prison, right. There's an amphitheater, though.
Just, you know.
An amphitheater?
For entertainment.
They're going to do it to themselves, you know, before the government does.
So. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty then.
Putting themselves in solitary confinement.
Eating nothing but potatoes, because they're in Idaho. But they grow other things.
I wonder if anyone will ever escape. It'll be like Escape from Alcatraz. I just realized everyone in here is crazy. I gotta get out of here.
You can never leave.
It's Hotel California. Mm-hmm. Oh, Hotel Idaho. Sure. Hello, Gina.
Hi. Yeah, this sounds really ghoulish, but I got the kind of the idea from listening to McChrystal and then thinking about Emmett Till, how his mother released the photos to show what racism had done to her son's face, and it was just this massive amount of pulp. I think that every legislator should have to look at those Sandy Hook photos.
Nice. Yeah.
And then say, oh, yeah, you know, because they were shot like 9-10 times, some of them. They must have been, you know, I feel so sorry for the parents. Their last image of their child is something horrendous.
Yeah, at close range. I know. And I, you know, you hate to say it. People go, oh, you're, you know, sensationalizing. It's not. It's the reality. I mean, I think that, you know, she's right. We sometimes airbrush what the reality is of this. With the very helpful NRA president, David Keene.
Oh.
What is Wayne LaPierre? Is he president? What is
CEO?
He said, that won't pass the assault weapons ban. David Keene, yesterday.
The vice president and his folks are focusing primarily on firearms ownership and what we consider Second Amendment rights of the American people.
No.
They've
made a point of talking about a very comprehensive approach. They've met with every single kind of group involved in this whole, and he said over and over, this is a complex problem with a lot of. Okay.
If you're looking at the problem, which is to prevent this sort of thing, what you want to do is do those things that will actually make a difference. We have a profound disagreement with this administration, first of all, on what would make a difference. We don't think that a ban on so-called assault weapons, which hasn't worked in the past, is going to work this time.
It did work, you moron. Gun deaths went down dramatically
tripled. They have tripled since the assault weapons ban expired. I mean,
it's just a liar.
Yeah.
And the press won't call him on it.
Yeah.
So we are.
Before we've even had a chance to debate this in Congress or have a vote, he's.
I do not think that there's going to be a ban on so-called assault weapons passed by the Congress.
Mm-hmm. He just said, I'd say the likelihood not likely to get an assault weapons ban. He also said he doesn't believe a ban on certain clips could pass either. So really nothing at all is on the table.
Sure, a million rounds is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, we are not going to compromise on people's rights when there's no evidence that doing so is going to serve a purpose. Yes, there is. There's a boatload of evidence. David Keene.
I think that's a real threat to their Second Amendment rights, and we intend to do all we can to protect them.
Mm-hmm. All you can.
He's talking about limiting ammo clips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Limiting clips of any kind would be just really...
overstepping the bounds
horrible,
of the Second Amendment.
Horrible, sure. Egregious, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the NRA is that powerful. I do think that those Americans who believe strongly in the Second Amendment and their right to own privately and use firearms for legitimate purposes, there's a huge number of people who really care about these issues. We try to provide leadership to those folks. We try to represent them before the Congress and elsewhere. Mm.
Jasmine in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jasmine.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
There's a couple of things. I'm a convicted felon of nonviolent felonies.
Uh-huh.
I had a concealed carry prior to getting in trouble. I'm a combat veteran. And come to find out, I was pulled over a couple of years after I was convicted to find out that I still have a valid concealed carry.
Hmm.
So legally, I could actually still carry it. Well, not legally, but say I would get stopped with a firearm, I wouldn't get in trouble. They would have no idea that I'm a convicted felon. That's all that comes up is I have a valid concealed carry license.
Hmm.
Now, granted, I wouldn't actually go out and carry a firearm being a convicted felon because, A, I wouldn't want to take a chance on the repercussions of that, and, B, I just generally think it's wrong. There's a couple of statistics that you said as well, like 85% of the children killed worldwide are killed in this country. So absolutely ridiculously false.
Yep. I mean, you sound very reasonable for a convicted felon, can I just say?
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Well, no, I mean, it's a good point. It's just that, because, you know, again, part of just, you know, more evidence. The NRA just fights anything at any turn that, that could, you know, could actually help. Let's go to Larry in Florida. Hey, Larry. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
I had a thought here. We know this is a political issue, obviously. When the president gives his State of the Union address, obviously this will no doubt be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Along the lines of the other woman looking at the pictures of the victim, how about having all 20 parents up there and have these lawmakers be able to look them in the eye and not vote for gun control? I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah. All right then. He'll take no further questions.
You think this is NPR?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that there's a way to you know, bring home the reality of this without, you know, saying, oh, you're politicizing. I mean, you don't call it politicizing if it happened to you or your family, right?
Right.
58 minutes after the hour. Oh, Jackie's Healthcare Corner next. Very, very important on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Andrew, North Carolina. So happy you're an app. I'm a happy, clappy, appy. Yes, I am. I'm not just a woman. There's a myth and a legend. I'm also an app. Right? Exactly. How do you get that there, app?
If you have an iPhone or an iPad, just go to the App Store, search for Stephanie Miller, and download the Stephanie Miller Show app.
Do it. Steph, my husband and I will be leaving 8 a.m. Eastern on Friday to drive to our son's Maryland so we can be at Sexy Liberal D.C. on Saturday. Woot! I was feeling depressed because I have XM in the car. They don't broadcast your first hour. Suddenly, my world brightened this morning when you reminded me that you're an app. I downloaded your app. Now I can get my 3-hour fix before we do the meet and greet. She's a stepaholic.
She is.
Yeah. All right. Lots of that. Your box, my iPhone.
What?
Dean from Portland. Steph, thanks for all you and the MOOCs do. Always love listening to you on the StephCast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Yes, indeed.
Listen anytime you want, commercial free.
That's right. Buy everything we talk about.
Thank you. Loved it even more when I got to see On Current during debates, but having your app on my iPhone makes me Al Roker myself every time I get to use it, which is multiple times a day.
Don't know what
will happen when I get to see you live. Dean from Portland. That could be a mess. All right, speaking of happy clappy things that will also be in D.C.
It's Schechner.
Wow.
Again.
Hi, Jackie Schechner.
Hello.
What's going on?
This makes me want to put on my virtual cowboy hat.
Exactly. All right, now, for the folks just in Radio Land, answer that question again. Jim in Chicago says, Steph, my in-law claims the nurses, somebody in the ER told them that when Obamacare goes into effect, there will be caps put on treatment. I learned if anyone would have the answer, it would be Jackie.
No, there aren't going to be any caps on treatment. I don't know where people get this stuff.
Well, from somebody in the ER somewhere.
Whatever.
Okay.
And they probably get it from Sean Hannity or something like that.
I will tell you, there are caps on treatment now. It's called denials by insurance companies.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, well, slowly I turn. You brought up the main point.
Those are the real death panels.
Yeah.
They are. The insurance company says, we're not going to cover that.
Well,
experimental. You don't need it.
Right. We've talked about this. Health insurers jacking up rates by double digits in advance of Obamacare, particularly vulnerable to high rates, small businesses, people who do not have employer-provided insurance must buy it on their own. In California, oh, goody, something will affect us. Aetna is proposing a rate increase of as much as 22%, Anthem Blue Cross 26%, Blue Shield 20%. When I read this stuff, Jackie, it just makes me so angry. The rate requests are all the more striking after a 39% raise sought by Anthem Blue Cross in 2010 helped give impetus to affordable care, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why people are so afraid to lay blame where the blame should be laid. It's on insurance companies. It's insurance companies who are deciding to do these rate increases. Mm-hmm. It's nobody else's fault they are making these decisions. And what they're saying is because the Affordable Care Act is going to levy some new fees and taxes on the insurance companies, that they need to pass those on to consumers or to customers.
Yeah, preemptively, apparently.
Need to do anything.
And Papa John's Pizza will cost $1 million each.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, and Papa John's Pizza will cost $1 million a slice.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at the top five health insurance profits, the top five health insurance providers and their profits, they made $12.5 billion in 2011.
Poor babies.
Right?
Yeah.
In 2010, they made 11.7, and in 2009, they made $10 billion. So their profits are going up.
Yeah.
And they're saying they have to pass these fees and regulations on to us.
So in other states, like Florida and Ohio, insurers have been able to raise rates by at least 20% for some policyholders. The rate increases obviously can amount to several hundred dollars a month. Like, this is really egregious for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, and we're trying to put some regulations in place, and there will be once the Affordable Care Act kicks in its entirety in 2014 to make these companies account for these rate increases. But they're trying to get as much in under the wire as they possibly can. And I just don't understand why we are so averse to blaming them for the bad behavior.
Right, because people, you're right, because people that are pre-programmed to hate Obama want to go, it's Obamacare.
It's the same thing with these fast food companies where these franchisors are saying that they're cutting workers' hours down to part-time hours so that they don't have to provide health insurance because they say they can't afford it. The whole thing is ridiculous, and first of all, the regulations don't kick in until 2014, so anyone who's cutting hours now is simply doing it to cut down their workers' hours and their pay. And then as far as 2014 is concerned, there's no employer mandate. There's a shared responsibility only if you have more than 50 workers, only if they're full-time, and only if one of them goes out into the exchange and gets a taxpayer subsidy. I mean, people just need to read the details before they believe the hype.
So, Jackie, what I mean, is there something that can be done or no? I mean,
single payer.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Medicare for all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, get angry at the right person. I mean, imagine if we actually put the power of the people behind being angry at the right people. Be angry at the employers who are cutting hours. Be angry at the insurance companies that are jacking up prices. Try and take your business elsewhere if it's possible. I mean, it's very difficult because the insurance companies hold monopolies in most markets. But I would say, be mad at who's causing it, not at who the insurance companies want you to blame or who these franchise owners want you to blame.
Right. What are the exchanges going to help this at all?
They're supposed to. I mean, this is where it gets a little tricky. If I were towing the party line, I would say yes, because there would be competition between the insurance companies within the exchange, and that way it would help lower costs. But I'm a firm believer that the only thing that really will do that would be a public option, and we didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that we're going to have the cost controls in place that we need. And that's the honest truth, is I'm not sure. I would like to believe it, that we could do it without it, but I don't think that's the case.
You and I talk about this all the time, Jackie, but every story that comes up to me, you're right, Jim, you go, what would solve this would be Medicare for all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this problem, and you just wonder, are we ever going to get to common sense on this issue?
I don't know. I mean, will we reach a tipping point? That's the question. A lot of people ask why we didn't go for it originally. And the truth is, it's not politically feasible. You're not going to wipe out the industry, the insurance industry, and some of the medical industrial industry that we've got in this country. It's too powerful. There's too much money. You're not going to erase it in its entirety. But I think if we do hit a tipping point, and I don't know, we may have already passed it, where we cannot get healthcare in this country without it being cost prohibitive for a majority of people, maybe we'll get to the point where we get so desperate that we have to do something huge.
Yep. Hang on one second here. Jackie, it's for you. It's, let's see here. Alma in Virginia, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead, Alma.
Hello.
Hi, Alma. Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, this is for Jackie.
Yes.
Hi, Alma.
Hi. My husband has insurance through his group plan at work.
Mm-hmm.
But our deductible is $6,000 per person per year.
Yeah.
Zoinks.
And I'm wondering if my daughter's actually read the healthcare plan that's on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and she can't find where this might help me.
Well, the problem is that a lot of these companies are pushing off these deductibles and these copays onto their employees, and that's a very real problem. If they do offer insurance through work, that it becomes unaffordable. The nice thing about the Affordable Care Act is there is a provision in there that says if your company provides you insurance, but it's more than 9.5% of your income, that you can shop elsewhere, and your company has to pay a shared responsibility fee for that. So there is a provision within the Affordable Care Act that says that employers have to offer affordable plans, which means you're not paying more than 9.5% of what you make.
9.5%.
Nine and a half percent
of our premiums that we pay monthly, or 9.5% of our premiums
of your income, like 9.5% of your
income. Right, 9.5.
Yes.
9.5 of the total of what we pay out of pocket. I mean,
no, the amount of money.
Income,
his salary, yes, his income. It basically, the provisions are in there that it has to be an affordable plan, that your company cannot provide you a plan that you can't afford. And if it does, then you have the opportunity to go out and shop on the exchange, and if you qualify to get a taxpayer subsidy, your company has to kick in, I think it's $3,000.
Okay, we can afford the monthly premiums, but we can't afford the deductible every year.
Yeah, I'd have to look
at the... Are they just talking about premiums or the total?
I think it's the total. I'd have to double-check, to be perfectly honest, but I think it's the total amount of money that you would end up having to pay on your own. But that's the problem with a lot of these insurance plans, and you have to look very closely, is that the premiums may look affordable, but the deductibles are insane. So, you know, you've got to have $6,000 laying around to pay for your medical care before your copays even kick in.
Right. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right, thanks, Alma. Jackie Schechner, let's get to the more important thing, and that is you and Melissa Fitzgerald and I out partying Saturday night. Had you guys known that Jodie Foster was going to break up with me on national television, you would have been. It would have been a much more supportive throuple, wouldn't it?
I would have gotten you a lot drunker.
Right?
I had no idea. You were still walking by the end of the night, so I would have put a lot more energy into getting you blackout drunk so you didn't remember the pain to come.
What time was the end of the night? When you say end of the night, what does that
mean?
Oh,
you won't believe this for me.
What?
I think you were out till 11, no?
Wow. Midnight. I went out to a bar after.
You went to a bar?
Yes.
I've never known you to go to a bar.
I know. I've lost my mind. I must have had a premonition that I was going to be humiliated by Jodie Foster on national television.
Yet you missed my birthday party.
I didn't. It was Chris's birthday yesterday, Jackie Schechner.
I don't know if Chris posted any of the pictures publicly, but apparently he had a karaoke Thai.
It was at a Thai karaoke place.
The pictures look great. He looks fabulous. His friends look fabulous.
Aw, yeah. Thank you.
What happens at a Thai karaoke?
People who speak Thai get up and sing karaoke in broken English.
Oh, okay.
It's very funny.
What's not awesome about it?
It is really awesome.
Is it a cabaret show,
or do you get to sing?
It looks like a cabaret show, and you can go up and sing, but it was mostly just the Thai people. We didn't do that.
it's power ballads with Padmun Sen.
Now I feel like when we go to D.C., we're going to have to get Chris to karaoke.
Oh, No. Especially not with this cough.
D.C. is going to be a party. Last night we were discussing one of the balls we're going to, and I said to Melissa, I have to wear a gown?
Yes, you do have to wear a gown.
All right, and you as my BFF offered to lend me one.
I did offer. I have gowns from when I lived in D.C. I never owned a long gown, and then when I moved to D.C., you have these correspondence dinners and White House, whatever they are.
I'm coming
to you to these things. I bought gowns.
I'm coming to your house for fancy shmata shopping later this week.
No pashminas.
No pashminas. It's a pashmina-free zone.
No pashminas ever. All right, Jackie Schechner, love you, honey. Thank you.
I love you guys,
Fabulous
too.
Corner. Okay, we love the corners.
Oh, no wire hangers ever!
You could do karaoke or the ball, but not both.
No. Oh, it's a love letter from Keith in Palm Springs. At least I'm getting support, Chris.
Trouble in
Paradise, Steph. So your girlfriend Jodie Foster says she's single at the Golden... Jodie Foster, apparently my girlfriend that I was dating.
What?
You were just dumped last night.
Apparently. While giving her speech for Lifetime Achievement Award, wow, sorry for the bad news. Your ex seems to be leaving you behind again. No worries. Don't worry, I go straight for you, and I will still be listening on the Stephcast for only $4.95 because I'm not afraid of a commitment. Well, that's something, Keith. Your $4.95 a month is enough to salve the wound.
Aww.
Bless my heart. Okay, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, yes, I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Better girl.
In the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong. Meaner than the junkyard dog.
Ah, Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Breck, right staff. Huge fan was at the Beacon. Have tickets for the Warner Theater Sexy Liberal Show this Saturday. I can actually walk to the... He can see the Warner Theater from his house.
Wow.
Wow.
I can't wait for the 19th to get here this Saturday. Yay! Sexy Liberal Tour Director Rollins announces, if you can announce, there are 4 VIP meet and greet seats the box office just put on sale, available online. Great seats in the third row. Yikes! So if you want to grab them, they may be...
Gone now.
Gone.
But try.
Don't.
Couldn't hurt to try.
Yeah, try. All right. Someone sent me a story to make me happy because it's about... Okay. Employer takes back reprimand of flatulent worker.
Oh.
The Social Security Administration officially reprimanded an employee whom colleagues accused of continuously passing gas and releasing an unpleasant odor that created a hostile work environment. After a smoking gun posted the reprimand letter online, the agency said it withdrew its disciplinary action against the flatulent. I love this part. The man told the supervisor in July that he would start turning on a fan. The manager explained suction action would only cause the smell to spread and worsen the air quality in that module.
Maybe light a lot of matches.
He's not good at...
Well, they make...
I'll just blow it your way. How's that?
They make charcoal filter seat pads that you can sit
There's
on.
That?
That capture the smell.
Right.
You should try that, maybe.
You're a helper.
Or you should change your diet, maybe. I mean, there's something you're eating.
There's that.
That you're not
Libino,
digesting.
Maybe.
I'm lactose intolerant. Well, stop drinking milk!
All right, the White House has responded officially to a number of petitions, including this second one. After telling American Piers Morgan will not be deported, then noting that the Death Star is simply too expensive to build, the White House now responding to several. Our states remain united.
We don't have an artificial gravity like they do in science fiction.
Can I have some Star Wars music? Jesse sent me this to me. The White House has officially responded. Really, people? We don't have enough going on.
What?
Death dealing, guns.
What?
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 You got to take up the White House's time with this, really?
What?
The administration, they write, shares your desire for job creation and a strong national defense, but a Death Star is not on the horizon.
No.
Here are a few reasons. The White House needs to take time to...
Yeah.
The construction of the Death Star has been estimated to cost more than 850... I don't even know how. I don't even think there's a number.
Mm-hmm.
We're working hard to reduce the deficit, not expand it.
It'd take a lot of platinum coins to build that.
Right.
Number two, the administration does not support blowing up planets. Number three, why would we spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship?
Mm.
Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for making the point about the starship. What?
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 Hard of hearing, Darth Vader. Never gets old.
Yeah. Go to the Stephanie Miller Show timeline on Facebook, and you'll see it. Just scroll down.
What? Okay. Dan in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm a Ron Paul libertarian straight guy, and I love your show.
All right, then.
You touched slightly on what I wanted to ask you about, but not exactly, and that is I'm asking you personally, would you acknowledge that in a year's time there are people who are attacked by bad guys, they happen to have a gun on them, wherever that may be, and that the bad guy just backs off because he's a chicken, doesn't want to get shot, and that no shots are fired, no one's hurt, no reports are filed, and that actually saves
lives. That happens
lives.
There are
studies on this exact thing. Would you acknowledge that?
Show me the study. Show me the study.
This is so hypothetical that my brain hurts.
I know. That happens a lot. There's no statistics because it's too amorphous, but there's things where... Lots all
if
over the place.
Happened,
a guy
and then that happened,
thinks that the
but,
guy had a gun, and so he
and then
was
Spider-Man
a,
and
given
Superman
him a
came down
stank eye, but he
Aquaman.
Was gonna do something. You could read his thought bubble. He was gonna do something, but he thought the guy had a thing.
And then he made an emergency bat turn.
Right.
And,
so there.
And the Joker ran
where
away.
Where is?
Scared.
I would like to know where that study is.
Yeah.
Where might I find that study?
In his ice.
How many times crime is stopped by?
But then why not just have a toy gun?
Right.
Hey, you, back off.
I have a lookout.
Hasbro?
You can,
really?
We can all just do
Hasbro.
That. We can all just do that thing in our show. Yeah, I got it. Look at what I got here. Look at.
Smith & Wesson isn't spelled H-A-S-B-R-O.
I got a Hasbro 45 here. I'm not afraid to use it.
Wow, there goes the whole crime problem. Just.
I'll use my Kung Fu action grip.
Watch out, I got a Stretch Armstrong.
The Treasury Department said Saturday it will not mint a $1 trillion platinum coin to head off an imminent battle with Congress over the debt limit.
Why are
you know why?
What if somebody lost it?
Because Fox News helped the legal them. It was way more than 23 blue whales.
More than 86.
Right? 86 blue whales.
They make me happy.
That poor Fox News researcher. That poor low level.
Just out of college, needed a job.
Yeah, dear.
Talked about it Friday. Boy. I know. A little piece of my soul keeps dying. Clack, clack, clack. All dead inside. Really? This is not way more than 76 blue whales. Okay. Tanya in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tanya. Hello, Tanya.
Hey.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller. I just wanted to say I love your show.
Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the gun debate.
Uh-huh. 20 seconds. Sorry. Go ahead.
All these politicians and everything, I think they're not personally affected so that it doesn't see, they don't,
right.
You know, they don't feel it. I'm a mother of three. And
yeah, well, I'm sorry, we're a heartbreak, but yeah, I take your point. Right, yep. Back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Buddy, if it takes the edge off, I am good to go.
And you're done.
Wait, what?
You don't drink wine for the right reasons.
She doesn't.
What reasons are those, Stephanie?
To forget.
It's a multitude. Yeah, okay, I to drink. Forget, to remember, I don't know.
So many reasons.
34 minutes.
Because it's there.
Because you pay good money for
right.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. There are kids in India, they're sober. Okay, I don't know.
It puts 30, hair on your chest.
Right.
Sure. Huh?
34 minutes after the hour. The top Senate four members of the Senate Democratic leadership privately telling the White House they will give Obama full support if he opts for a unilateral solution to the debt ceiling crisis. Harry Reid, Chuck Schumer, Dick Durbin, and Patty Murray. However, I don't know, because apparently the trillion-dollar coin is a no-go. As we discussed, because Fox News warned us, it was way more than whales.
86 blue whales.
How about a trillion $1 coins?
Yeah, but I don't know what there is. The White House has already said the 14th Amendment. They don't think is a. So I don't. I who knows? This whole thing is just going to happen all over again.
Who can say?
Who can say? Colin Powell strongly endorses Hagel for defense secretary. Called him superbly qualified on Meet the Press yesterday.
Jerry Lewis endorsed Hagel.
Hey. He said he is a good supporter of Israel, but not reluctant to disagree when he thinks disagreement is appropriate. He said being pro-Israel doesn't mean you have to agree with every single position that the Israeli government takes.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to agree with the Likud to be pro-Israel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parties in the Knesset who don't necessarily agree with Netanyahu.
Right. You don't have to think that bombing Iran might be the only option on the table. The New York Times story, Hawks on Iraq prepare for war again against Hegel. In the bitter debate that's like you said,
idiots.
Jim, because they were wrong on Iraq.
Yeah,
that's why.
And they made him look bad.
Yeah. In the bitter debate that led up to the American invasion of Iraq in 2003, Senator Chuck Hagel said that some of his fellow Republicans in their zest for war lack the perspective of veterans like him who have sat in jungles or foxholes and watched their friends get their heads blown off.
Yeah.
Those Republicans in turn called him an appeaser whose cautious geopolitical approach
dangerously And how many of them actually served in combat? Weakness. How many of those?
Campaign now being waged right against Mr. Hagel's nomination as Secretary of Defense, in some ways a relitigation of that decade-old dispute. Yeah, Bill Kristol, you were wrong, but everything. This is the neocons' worst nightmare because you've got a combat soldier, successful businessman, and senator who actually thinks there may be other ways to resolve some questions other than force, said Richard Armitage. So, we were saying, as Eric Bowler said, this is just par for the course now. They're just...
That's right.
He's a Republican. And they're still accusing Obama of not, seeking
whatever
bipartisan
it is,
consensus.
I'm against it.
Whatever.
Right. Okay. Wow, I bet you they're going to be helpful on immigration reform
sure.
as well.
Oh, jeez.
Right after they get reasonable gun control done. President Obama plans to push Congress to move quickly in the coming months on an ambitious overhaul of the immigration system that would include a path to citizenship for most of the 11 million illegal immigrants in the country. Mr. Reagan and Senate Democrats will propose the changes in one comprehensive bill, resisting efforts by some Republicans to break the overhaul into smaller pieces. And John McCain, as you know,
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
Comprehensive immigration reform. Who would ever come up with such a ridiculous, stupid idea?
That's exactly what's going to happen, which is the sad part.
McCain Kennedy.
Yeah.
Okay. Javi and...
Who now?
McCain
Never heard of him.
Javi or Javi?
I don't know. Javi, is that how I say it? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, it's Javi.
Oh, you're right, Stephanie.
Thank you.
That's the California
that's
version.
That's the plural of right. Java. Yeah.
Right.
Java, yes. Hi, guys. I just wanted to bring up something. There was a Forbes article, I don't know whether you folks saw it, but in December 18th, called Addicted to Bang, the Neuroscience of the Gun.
Hmm.
And that was in Forbes, and it brought, argued very successfully, I thought, that what we're hearing about now, the passion that's coming from people in the NRA, you mentioned Ted Nugent a lot on your show, et cetera,
yes.
is basically these people are addicted to specifically assault weapons. And what they have found is that the assault weapons in particular, because of the frequency that the bullets are shot out, it corresponds to a release of dopamine in the brain,
mm-hmm.
which is as addictive as cocaine.
Wow.
It's a good article, and, I'm kind of almost shocked that nobody is kind of addressing this because
yeah.
the issue of mental health is, and guns
right.
is side by side. But the
yeah.
thing is that people in the NRA, right at the top, may be addicted to these specifically assault weapons.
Yeah,
which
yeah. And see, I don't understand it because, as you know, it makes me cry
mm-hmm.
and run home like a little gal.
Well, you,
all right.
Yeah, you are a girl.
The president is holding a press conference. Let's listen for a minute.
And new security for the middle class. Now, right now, our economy is growing,
mm-hmm.
And our businesses are creating new jobs.
Hooray.
So we are poised for a good year.
Yeah.
If we make smart decisions and sound investments. And as long as Washington politics don't get in the way of America's progress.
When would that happen?
As I said on the campaign, one component to growing our economy and broadening opportunity for the middle class is shrinking our deficits in a balanced and responsible way. And for nearly two
Uh-oh.
Years now,
oh boy.
I've been fighting for such a plan, one that would reduce our deficits by $4 trillion over the next decade,
yeah.
which would stabilize our debt and our deficit in a sustainable way for the next decade.
But not by cutting Social Security and Medicare.
That would be enough not only to stop the growth of our debt relative to the size of our economy, but it would make it manageable so it doesn't crowd out the investments we need to make in people and education and job training and science and medical research, all the things that help us grow. Now, step by step, we've made progress towards that goal. Over the past 2 years, I've signed into law about $1.4 trillion in spending cuts. 2 weeks ago, I signed into law more than $600 billion in new revenue by making sure the wealthiest Americans begin to pay their fair share. When you add the money that will save in interest payments on the debt,
job creators.
Altogether, that adds up to a total of about $2.5 trillion in deficit reduction over the past 2 years.
You say that like it's a good thing.
Not counting the $400 billion already saved from winding down the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we've made progress. We are moving towards our ultimate goal of getting to a $4 trillion reduction.
However, I hope we can
and
do that.
And there will be more deficit reduction when Congress decides what to do about the $1.2 trillion in automatic spending cuts that have been pushed off until next month. The fact is, though, we can't finish the job of deficit reduction through spending cuts alone.
Mm-hmm.
The cuts we've already made to priorities other than Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and defense mean that we spend on everything from education to public safety, less as a share of our economy than it has been true for a generation. And that's not a recipe for growth. So we've got to do more both to stabilize our finances over the medium and long term, but also spur more growth in the short term.
Okay.
Now, I've said I'm open to making modest adjustments to programs like Medicare to protect them for future generations.
Oh, boy.
I've also said that we need more revenue.
Yes, we do.
Through tax reform, by closing loopholes in our tax code for the wealthiest Americans. If we combine a balanced package of savings from spending on health care and revenues from closing loopholes, we can solve the deficit issue without sacrificing our investments in things like education that are going to help us grow. Turns out the American people agree with me. Mm-hmm. They listened to an entire year's debate over this issue, and they made a clear decision about the approach they prefer. They don't think it's fair, for example, to ask a senior to pay more for his or her health care, or a scientist to shut down life-saving research so that a multimillionaire investor can pay less in tax rates than a secretary.
Mitt.
Yeah.
They don't think it's smart to protect endless corporate loopholes and tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans rather than rebuild our roads and our schools, invest in our workers' skills, or help manufacturers bring jobs back to America. So they want us to get our books in order in a balanced way, where everybody pulls their weight, everyone does their part. That's what I want as well.
All right.
That's what I've proposed.
I'm sure they will be nothing but for how. And the Republicans have already said, please, Mr. President, how might we help? How
help
might
us
we
help you.
Be of assistance to you in some way.
Sure, yeah.
To come together for the good of the American
people. Give the Republicans an inch, they'll take a light year.
By the way, Jackie made a great point in her healthcare corner a little while ago about blame the right people, like the health insurance companies, for jacking rates, you know, in anticipation of Obamacare. Let's chalk one up for Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren has been in office for a number of days. She already has a big win against Wall Street. Insurance giant AIG was about to sue the U.S. government over the terms of the company's bailout. The taxpayer-sponsored $182 billion deal that saved the company from destitution and with it the American economy. Yeah, they turned out they didn't think it was enough. Elizabeth Warren, a woman Wall Street has plenty of reason to fear, was having none of it. The result, AIG has announced that they will not be joining the suit.
Awesome.
First SmackDown, round one, Elizabeth
Holy
Warren.
Holy cow, you
yeah.
go.
Right? She gets the You Go Girl along with my ex-girlfriend Jodie Foster, who broke up with me on national television last night.
Well, you and Sydney.
Yeah.
A lot of rife. The speculation is rife this morning. Did I break them up? What happened?
Sydney
I was too drunk. I don't remember anything. Okay. In case you didn't hear it, that was with all the rage. People talking about it.
So I'm here being all confessional, and I guess I just have a sudden urge to say something that I've never really been able to air in public. Declaration.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm a little nervous about, but maybe not quite as nervous as my publicist right now, huh, Jennifer? I'm just going to put it out there, right? Loud and proud, right? So I'm going to need your support on this. I am single. Yes, I am. I am single. No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, I'm not really kidding, but I'm kind of kidding. I mean...
Yeah, anyway, yeah. And then she, you know, basically came out, and I thought it was very moving. Very moving.
Least kept secret in Hollywood.
Well,
think,
but, yes, but still, it's important.
Well, was it a couple of years ago that she thanked Sydney for...
Yeah, yeah. At an awards thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
Just I don't think she's quite as publicly acknowledged it before.
She,
at least in the time that we were dating.
She kind of danced around it last night,
I mean,
night
would
too.
You want to admit if you were dating me? I mean, seriously.
Well, there's that.
Right. Okay, 43... For those of you that just tuned in, I've never met her. Okay, but it was great fun for a while on the interwebs. We don't know where it came from.
You never interviewed her on a red carpet or anything?
No, I've never met.
Not even right after that disastrous Kevin Costner interview?
But you know what? I will say this. I'm lonely, too. Call me, Joni. Call me. Okay.
Not even after that disastrous Kevin Costner interview?
Where I asked him to send me a note in a bottle?
A message in a bottle, because that was the name of his movie.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Oh,
I've done worse interviews. Okay, 46.
Really? Is there a YouTube of this?
I've said dumber things. Yes, I have. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She gets insulted by more right wingers before 6 a.m. than most people do all day. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Just doing tech support during the show. Can you do the thing on my mini? Okay.
Well, I don't have access to
email. It's like voodoo, Jim. Apparently you can print from your iPad.
Do
who knew?
That voodoo that
there was
you
an app for
so
that.
Well.
I should know that as an app myself. All right.
So you asked Jodie Foster, voulez-vous coucher avec moi? And she said no.
No. I'd rather be lonely. Sid in Utah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sid.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Sydney from Utah, and I, too, am coming out of the closet as a Democrat.
Yay!
But I've got an interesting tidbit for you. It was on the local news last year, and I've never heard much blowback from it, but they said that Utah was one of two states that you were legally allowed to buy guns blind. You could be blind and own a gun in Utah. And a lot of other people from other states come here to buy them.
Wow. What could go wrong there? That's certainly some common sense gun laws out there. Wow! So I was saying Jodie Foster coming out I thought was huge, really, for in a lot of ways last night. However, there's pockets of intolerance. Look at this. Illinois GOP calls for ouster of their gay marriage supporting party leader.
Wow.
He's not allowed to play in any of their homophobic Ranger games anymore. And this, did you see this story? I love this. A lesbian couple dining at a North Carolina cafe was handed the letter that decried homosexuality as being against God's will after they paid their bill. Wasn't that nice?
Hmm.
Huh. I think you wouldn't want that filthy money, right? They went to the Stingray Cafe on December 4th on their way out. The restaurant owner approached the couple, handed them a letter asking them to reevaluate their lifestyle.
What?
The letter read in part, please, look at your life. See how it hurts everyone around you.
How is it hurting everyone around them?
And ask the Lord to open your eyes.
Look at everyone around you. Look how they're suffering because of you.
P.S. My daughter was also gay. It destroyed her life and my grandson. Oh, personal issues. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway, she said they were just holding hands. The negative Yelp reviews have been pouring in. Being an upstanding Christian, you refunded their money, of course, along with handing them the letter, right?
Yeah.
It turned out their money was fine.
Yeah. Their gay money.
All right. Lance Armstrong will reportedly admit that he is dating Jodie Foster on Oprah's
show. He will do no such thing.
I'm sorry. Admit to doping. What? Is he going to cry? What do you think?
He probably will.
In the interview, which is scheduled to air this Thursday, I believe, on OWN, he plans to admit to doping throughout his career, but probably will not get into great detail about specific cases and events. His admission carries with it the risk of being sued or held liable by those he defrauded by lying about his performance and the use of drugs. Interesting. He also, they're saying that if he provided assistance to doping officials, he could eventually be reinstated. But wouldn't he then be old and then undoped and not really competitive like he?
I don't know.
I'm
done with him.
Are you?
Yes.
Have you quit him?
I've quit him.
All right. Well. All right. GQ interview confirms that Beyonce is crazy and exactly as you imagine her. Gawker brings us.
Oh, boy.
Gawker brings us the story. How can so much crazy be contained? Within one two-page interview, this is the question that will surely be asked by all readers of GQ's insane new Beyonce interview, Ms. Millennium Beyonce, which you must read immediately so that you can spend the day reflecting on it. Would you like to read part? Gawker brings us parts of it.
Okay.
In her sleek office suite in Midtown Manhattan, Beyonce maintains a Beyonce-themed competitor to the Library of Congress. The official Beyonce Archive, a temperature-controlled digital storage facility, contains, in addition to video of every show she's ever performed, every interview she's ever recorded with thousands of hours of private footage, virtually every existing photograph of her, starting with the very first frames taken of Destiny's Child. Since 2005, Beyonce has also employed a visual director who has shot practically her every waking moment for up to 16 hours a day.
Wow.
That's a lot of Beyonce.
It's a reality show, basically.
She also says, I know that, yes, I am powerful. I'm more powerful than my mind can even digest and understand.
God. That was Sasha Fierce talking.
Yeah.
I love the old single ladies. Wow.
Who is the alternate universe? Chris, the country singer. Help me out here.
Chris.
He had an alter
Chris
ego.
Chris Van Hollen?
No. This country singer who had alter ego, Chris something or other.
Oh, Chris Gaines.
Yes.
Chris Gaines.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was,
Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
That was a long way to go for that.
Wow, wait. I had to back up and go back and get that. All right. Here we go. Forward. I didn't need to know this, did you? New report claims Twilight's Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson have sex 7 times a day.
What?
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 The Star magazine claims to have heard from a source that the couple has a very active sex life. They like handcuffs, blindfolds, and feathers.
Okay. Feathers?
Really?
What?
Really? Do we need to feel worse
seven
about our life?
Seven times a day? Wow. With Kristen Stewart?
Ouch.
Well, maybe not with him. She's probably cheating with other guys.
Yeah.
She just seems
I made that part up. She seems
a little too sour to have sex seven times a day.
They're both so bony. I think it
they
hurt.
Are.
Bang, like bones banging together.
Pinging thoraxes. Hello, Michelle in Indiana.
Hello. I was calling because I did some research. A lot of people have been putting on Facebook an excerpt from the testimony of the Brady Bill, right, where a lady was talking about that during the L.A. riots, a gentleman was on his roof and had an assault rifle, and that's what protected his home.
Oh.
So I did some research on this whole argument of a riot will, you'll, if you have an assault rifle, it'll protect you. There's been, this all started from the 80s. There's been 22 riots that only resulted in 99 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And 53 of those were from the LA riots and 33 from a New Mexico prison riot. I did the same research as far as mass shootings starting from the 80s. There's been 33 mass shootings that resulted in 311 deaths. And all of those mass shootings involved either assault rifles or assault weapons or an extended clip. So the argument that they have as far as assault weapons protecting you in a riot, there's actually more mass shootings than riots.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that statistic. Oh, by the way, before we go, one more. Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
Convinced she will always be remembered for her phone-throwing tantrum.
Well,
but hopes to repair her reputation with a reality show.
Oh, great.
That ought to do it. That ought to make you more beloved.
Sure.
That would be perfect. She seems so warm. So warm. That was a BlackBerry, too.
Yeah.
Back in the days.
When
that was heavy.
The size of walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.